Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. November 2nd, 2018, in Krishna Balaram Temple in Vrindavan, India, and we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 5, The Demigods Appeal to the Lord. This is leading up to the pastime of the churning of the ocean of milk, text 44. And I've also been asked to speak on the fourth verse of the Dhammadharastika. So we're going to be chanting this Sanskrit verse, but I'm going to be speaking about these two verses in tandem. Namostu tasma upashanta shaktaye swarajalabha patipuri tatmane guneshu maya rachiteshu vrittibir na sajjamanaya na basvaduchaye. Namaha. Our respectful obeisances. Us two. Let there be. Tasmai. Unto him. Upashanta shaktaye. Who does not endeavor to achieve anything else. Who is free from restlessness. Swarajya, completely independent. Labdha, of all gains. Pratipurita, fully achieved. Atmane, under the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Guneshu, of the material world, which is moving because of the three modes of nature. Maya Rachiteshu, things created by the external energy. Vrittibhi, by such activities of the senses. Na Sajjamanaya, one who does not become attached, or one who is above material pains and pleasures. Nabasvat, the heir. Utaye, unto the Lord, who has created this material world as his pastime. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Let us offer our respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is completely silent, free from endeavor, and completely satisfied by his own achievements. He is not attached to the activities of the material world through his senses. Indeed, in performing his pastimes in this material world, he is just like the unattached heir. Prabhupada's purport. We can simply understand that behind the activities of material nature is the Supreme Lord, by whose indications everything takes place, although we cannot see him. Even without seeing him, we should offer him our respectful obeisances. We should know that he is complete. Everything is done systematically by his energies, prasta shaktir vividai vishruyate, and therefore he has nothing to do, natasya karyam karanam chavidyate. As indicated here by the word upashanta shaktaye, his different energies act, but although he sets these energies in action, he himself has nothing to do. He is not attached to anything, for he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, let us offer our respectful obeisances unto him. Namostu tasma upashanta shaktaye swarajya labha patipuri tatmane guneshu maya rachiteshu vrittibir na sajjamanaya nabasvarutaye. Let us offer our respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is completely silent, free from endeavor, and completely satisfied by his own achievements. He is not attached to the activities of the material world through his senses. Indeed, in performing his pastimes in this material world, he is just like the unattached air. So again, I was asked to speak on this verse along with the fourth verse of the Dhammadharastika. So I'll read that as well. Varam deva moksha na moksha varimva na chanyam vrneham varishadapiha idam te vapurnata gopalabalam sarame manasa virastam kimanyai. Hey Deva, O Lord, although you are capable of granting any boon, I do not pray to you for liberation, nor for eternal life in Vaikuntha, nor for any other benediction. Hey Nata, O Lord, may your form as a cowherd child forever remain manifest in my heart. Other than this, I have no need of anything. So both of these verses, the fourth verse of the Dhammadharastika and this verse, actually this whole chapter, are part of asking for benedictions. The demigods are in distress because the worlds are poverty-stricken. And in a poverty-stricken condition, the yajñas are not going on. And the demigods, therefore, are not being nourished. The universe is disturbed. So they're coming with Lord Brahma and reciting these prayers. So they want a benediction, and Satyavrata Muni wants a benediction. Actually, all of us want something. Isn't it? All of us want something. You can say there are some people who don't want anything, but even they want to be merged in the Brahman, or they want to go into the void, or something. We all want something, and we are dependent for that something on someone who is greater than us. Nityo nityanam chetanis chetananam eko bahunam yo vididati kaman. Here it is said the Lord is independent, but are we independent? Can we fulfill all of our desires ourselves? Even when we say the liberated souls are atmakama, aptakama, they can fulfill all of their desires. That is by the grace and the potency of the Lord, that they have this particular mystic ability. We, as a part and parcel of the Lord, are dependent. So how do we fulfill our desires, and what is the best desire to have fulfilled? When Vamandev came to Bali Maharaj, Bali Maharaj said to him with some pride, "You should ask for something so great that you will never have to ask anyone else for anything else ever." Could Bali give such a thing? No. Who can give such a thing? Only Krishna can give that. So that's what we would like to get. We would like to get such a thing that is so great that we would never have to ask for anything else ever. Materially, that doesn't work, does it? No, right? You get a house and you think, now I have my house. And then you realize, I also want a chair. And I want a painting on that wall. And especially in India, every few days, I want something fixed. You know, you don't get to the point where you say, okay, now I have my house, it's just peace. We're trying to get to that point, isn't it? If I could just get to that point, I'm trying to get to that point where I don't have any more desires. Everything is for, it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. You know, you marry the perfect person and then you realize there's something about them you would like to change. This is the way it works. But there is something we can get after getting rich. We no longer need to ask for anything. We have a foundation of peace and satisfaction, after which everything we do is simply play. Isn't that what we want? We want everything to be taken care of so we can just play. Yes? Isn't that? Everybody wants that, right? Who would like that? Yes. So in today's verse, we have this utaye. Uti means a number of things, but one of the things it means is play, pastimes, recreation. And in verse 4, I was thinking, is there anything about pastimes? But as soon as you say Gopala Balam, you are the cowherding child. Gopala implies that there's some activity, yes? Right? Oh, he is a cowherd. Then he takes care of cows. He's doing something. But we know it's all lila. So in both of these verses, there's discussion of how the Lord is just playing. And in this verse in the Bhagavatam, he doesn't have any desires to fulfill. He doesn't have any work to do. Everything's taken care of automatically, and he just plays. So both Brahma and the demigods, Brahma's asking on behalf of the demigods, and Satyavratamuni, there's something they want. The demigods, interestingly enough, never directly ask for it in this section of the Bhagavatam. They just make their prayers and then they're quiet. They just glorify, you're wonderful, you have nothing to achieve, you're always playful, and then they're just quiet. And then the Lord shows up. We'll get to that in the next chapter. He shows up and he says, I already know what you want. This is what we're going to do. Satyavratamuni directly asks. He says, this is what I want. I want this Gopala Balam to always be in my mind, to always be in my consciousness, to always be in my awareness. Now, Prabhupada explains here in his purport that the pastimes of the Lord indicated in this verse have to do with the material world. It could have been explained differently, but considering that the verse talks about Guneshu, Maya, it's reasonable that the Uti that the demigods are referring to, applies to the Lord's pastimes of creating this world, which is also a pastime. Yakaran Arnavajale Bhajatisma Yoga Nidram Ananta Jagananda Saroma Kupad Hara Shakti Avalambya Param Swamurti. These is the Lord's dreaming pastimes. Nothing happens in my dreams except for some electrical impulses in my brain, but when the Lord sleeps, here we are. He sleeps, he has a dream, and all this happens. So that's his dreaming pastimes that comes in his sleep. Whereas Satyavratamuni is not talking about the pastimes of creating the world, although that is also sweet in the Madhuram Astakam, Shristi Madhuram. Your creation is also very sweet. But Satyavratamuni is saying, he's not even asking about the material, right? He's just going right to Gopala. So both of them are looking at the Lord and his pastimes. They're looking at the Lord in relationship to his pastimes and in relationship to his qualities. The demigods are looking at his qualities of detachment, his opulence of vairagya. You're just like the air. The air is everywhere, but it doesn't become affected. And Satyavratamuni is looking at the Lord's qualities in terms of his love for the cows, in terms of his affection for his devotees. So all of us have desires, and most of us have some very immediate desires. So if we can think about just today, So everybody, I assume, has been awake for at least 4 hours or so. Some of you probably have been awake for 6 hours. So has there been something you've desired today, some immediate desire? Maybe you desire to get your laundry done before this afternoon, or you desire to get something from the market, or you hoped that there'd be cheesecake for lunch, or you hoped you could meet somebody, or you hoped you had enough cash in your pocket. Some desire. Or maybe you hoped that your stomach wouldn't hurt today. Some desire came into our mind, yes? Who here, since they woke up this morning, had some desire, something enter their mind? Okay, so we all have some desire. And sometimes, maybe some of us, since we woke up, we like, please, Krishna, I want to love you. I want to surrender, please. I want to be a pure devotee, hopefully. We each thought that, at least for a few seconds since we woke up this morning. But we probably also had some other immediate pressing desire in terms of our practical life in the world. And some of it may have been a very little desire, like I hope I get the cup of sweet rice from the Maha booth before everybody else gets it. And for some of us, it might be a really big desire, like I hope I get that job I interviewed for, or I hope that, you know, handsome man marries me, or it might have been something like that. And what do we do with these desires? What should we do with them? Because we're told, anyabhilasita shunyam, we're supposed to be desireless. But the reality is that as a spirit soul, we have desires, spiritual, material, or both. So there's several options. Hear what the demigods are doing in this particular case. Now, this is not always what the demigods do, but in this particular case, this particular verse, this particular chapter, they are just glorifying the Lord and not asking Him for anything. He knows what they're asking for, just like when you walk around Vrindavan and some little beggar child walks up to you and says, Hare Krishna. Or the shopkeepers in Lloyd Bazaar, you're walking on the path, and the shopkeeper, Haribo, Haribo, Jai Prabhupada, Hare Krishna. You can immediately understand they are saying, come into my shop and spend your money. You know? So Krishna can understand that the demigods are really saying, hey, you know, there's poverty in the universe, we're starving, the universe is disturbed, can you please fix everything? So one way is just to glorify the Lord and figure that He knows what I need, and He will take care of it how He sees fit. Another way is to glorify the Lord and then out and out ask Him. And by the way, one is not superior to the other. Sometimes we tend to think, well, if I don't actually verbalize what I want, that's a higher platform. But it doesn't matter whether you're verbalizing with your mouth or you're verbalizing with your mind. He still hears you just as much as we hear the shopkeeper. Right? We hear them. We understand what do they really want. So there's no harm with being upfront about it. Just like Uttara, she's praying to the Lord, you're so great, you're so wonderful, please save my embryo. She comes out and says what she wants. So that's something else that one can do. One can say, my dear Lord, you are the supreme controller. You are the Lord of everything. You have wonderful qualities. You have wonderful pastimes. Could I please get the bowl of sweet rice this morning? Can you get that beautiful woman to marry me? You know, that Kardama Muni did that. Kardama Muni said, I would like a compatible wife. And Prabhupada says, if you take your desires to the Lord, they will be fulfilled beyond your expectations. Are you translating? Am I going slowly enough? I could do better. I will slow down. If I say something you don't understand, will you ask me? No. He asks me, if I say something you don't understand, I will put on the brakes. So that is also a way to fulfill our desires. We go to the Lord and we say, this is what I would like. That's not wrong, because as I said, he hears us anyway. We can also go to the Lord and say, I know I should be asking for the highest thing. I know I should be asking, may this form of Gopala Bala appear in my mind. And yes, I would like that, but I would also like to marry that girl. And if we really don't care about anything else, then we can say, please just give me the highest thing. But in any case, however we approach the Lord, there are certain guidelines. First of all, Krishna would much rather that we approach him than that we try to fulfill our desires independently. In fact, looking at the six symptoms of surrender, which are described differently in different places by Srila Prabhupada and our acharyas, one of the descriptions is to not be independent, to not have an independent mood in fulfilling our desires, to be aware that we depend on the Lord and have a mood of dependence. Now, this mood of dependence is not just an awareness that I am incapable of fulfilling my desires by myself, and therefore I need to ask a more powerful person, but I don't like that. I'm resentful. Oh, I have to ask somebody more powerful because I'm not powerful enough. No, not that kind of attitude. And not whining. You all know what whining is? Like the little child, can I please have the airplane? Can I have the airplane? Mommy, can I have the airplane? And then you just like, be quiet. And anybody who gives any good advice on parenting will tell you, never give a child what they want when they're whining. Have you ever noticed that Krishna fulfills the little tiny desires, but never the ones we whine about? Have you all noticed that? So one of my favorite stories, many years ago, I looked in my closet and I said, I'd like one more silk sari, heavy silk, beige-ish with an embroidered border. I got a picture in my mind. I thought, next time I go to Vrindavan, I'll buy that. And then I thought, oh, it'll be too expensive. Forget it. I don't really need it. And I forgot about it. And you all know how this story ends, right? And 3 days later, one of the parents came to pick up her daughter from the Gurukula. She's in her car. Urmila, I have something for you. Okay, and I go to her car window, and she hands me this like I had ordered it on Amazon, you know. Exactly what was in my mind. I mean, and I started to cry, and I said, Krishna, I'm so sorry. I had so much grief that I bothered you for a piece of cloth. So Krishna gives those things. Or one time when I was walking back to the room I was staying in Auckland, and I thought, it'd be nice to have some cashews, and there on my doorknob, rubber band to my doorknob, was a bag of cashews. Or the first day I moved into the temple in Chicago, actually, first day was when Kishore Kishori were installed. Next day, I went out on Harinam, and my shoes were not good Harinam shoes. They were, and I was thinking, I need some good Harinam shoes. And I have very small feet. And I got back, and someone says, there's some shoes here. Would they fit you? The chances that some random shoes will fit me is very unusual. And they fit me. And they were perfect Harinam shoes. And those things Krishna tends to give, yes? You all have stories like this, right? Yes. Everybody has. Who has at least one story like this? Right? Probably have 10, 20, 30, 40. But the things I whine to Krishna about, he never gives me.
Krishna, why don't you give me that? You're supposed to give me that.
He's like, forget it.
But I'm a good devotee. I chanted all my rounds and I went to Mangalarti and I read the Bhagavatam and I even read the story with the benediction I'm asking for. I read it 5 times.
And he's like, no, I'm not going to encourage whining. Have you noticed that? These big things that are like really important to us that we think I have to have them and we're really attached and we go and, yeah? He's like, forget it. Because that's the wrong attitude. It's a demanding attitude. It's an insisting attitude. As they say nowadays, it's an entitlement attitude. And that's not bhakti, and he's not interested. So whatever we do, whether we just glorify him and don't verbalize our desires, whether we glorify him and verbalize our desires, whether we glorify him and say, I'd like the best thing, but I also kind of want this. And if we're able to say in honesty and authenticity and genuinely, and please don't fake this because that's a very bad idea and I've tried it and don't do it. If we artificially pretend that we want the best thing when we don't, the mood always should be that of surrender. Even if we're at the point that we can say, I want the best thing, even if we can genuinely say, I want the best thing, it's still however, whenever, wherever, in what way you desire, I trust you. Suridam sarvabhutanam. And in this way, we're peaceful, right? You're the enjoyer, bhoktiram yagatapasam. You're the controller. And you're my friend, suridam. You're my best friend. You're going to give me the right thing, even if I don't know what to ask for, even if I don't know what's in my best interest. You do. And it's up to you. He wants us to come to him with our desires because, my dear friends, if we do not come to him with our desires, we will try to fulfill them independently. We will. So better to be honest with him. But he wants us to come to him with a mood of surrender. So what is the best thing to ask for? That's given in this Dhammadharastika verse. It's good to know what the best thing to ask for is, even if I'm not sure I can ask for that authentically in this particular moment. It's good to want to be able to want to ask for the best thing. To have some vision. People talk about having a vision, whether it's a project or a business or for ourselves. And our vision should be, I want to get to the point where I can genuinely go in front of Krishna Balaram and Radhasham and Gornitai and really genuinely, with no duplicity, with nothing hidden, say, this is what I want. So what should that this be? One of the many beautiful things about our Gaudiya Vaishnav understanding and about what has been taught to us by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, is to know what is the best thing. In so many religions of the world, they teach that the best thing is have an honest career and a happy family and give some charity. All Rajagun stuff. So many religions are only teaching on the level of Rajagun. And worship the Lord and go to a heaven. When I was first distributing Prabhupada's books I'm still a new devotee, but as a new member of ISKCON. And some Christians came up to me in the O'Hare Airport and they said, we don't need your books because we are going to heaven. I said, oh, well, that's lovely. And what will you do there? Well, the same thing we're doing here. I said, oh, will you watch television? So what they're preaching in most religions, and we're not picking on any religion, the Hindus do it as much as the Christians and the Muslims and the Jews, and is, you know, you're going to go to heaven and there you'll be with your family. They never ask the question, suppose I don't like my family. You know, do I really have to be with Uncle Edgar for eternity? Like the Mormons, they have this wedding where you're going to be married to each other eternally. And I sometimes think if people regret that after 20 years of marriage, you know, they're like, oh my God, what did I sign up for? But, you know, so you're there with your family eternally, and I don't, what do they think you're doing? I guess you're just not fighting anymore or something. You know, it's just like, oh, I love you, dear. I love you too, dear. I don't, you know, it's such a unsatisfying idea of an ultimate benediction, isn't it? I never could understand why people were excited about that. There's a little silent button on the phone. And then other people's idea of the ultimate is, you know, a void. Just nothingness. Because material life is painful, right? Dukhalayam Shashvatam. It's painful, and even the nice things are temporary. You know, your pizza, your ice cream doesn't last. So they're thinking, let me be nothing. And that's their idea of ultimate. And I've met people who that's their idea of the ultimate. You meditate, realize you're the observer, and then you meditate there, and you realize there's no observer. I don't exist. There's nothing. And then there's people whose idea of the ultimate is to merge into the Brahma Jyoti. A little better than the void. At least you exist. There was that book years ago, Be Here Now. Well, that's like Brahma Jyoti. I mean, how long is it going to be interesting? Even the ocean has waves, you know. People sit at the beach. There's a famous poem. Why are they looking at the ocean? It's boring. More boring than the land. But at least it has some waves. Some fish, dolphins, turtles. And then there are people who want to go to Vaikuntha. Satyavrata Muni says, I don't want the Brahman. He says, I don't even want to go to Vaikuntha. Raghunath Das Goswami says we should give up any rati for Lakshmipati. So what's wrong with Vaikuntha? Because in Vaikuntha, there's still some attitude of enjoying the opulences of the Lord with the Lord. Not separate, like in this world we want to take Lakshmi from Narayan, Sita from Ram, Radha from Krishna. We want to be the Purusha enjoying Prakriti. In Vaikuntha, everyone is happy that Narayana is enjoying with Lakshmi, and they want to enjoy with them. There is still some self-something. Like I give the example, I have a friend, he says, you know, Urmila, I like to have rich friends because I can go on their yacht with them. You know, so this is the mood of enjoyment in Vaikuntha. I can enjoy with Narayana. And it's not, the sweetness isn't so much there. You know, if you have the idea, the definition of God as the supreme opulent, the supreme powerful, then Vaikuntha is the ultimate. But Satyavrata Muni says, I don't even want to go there. I mean, the demigods here, they're just asking to be happy in this world, in this particular section. They're not even asking for moksha. But Satyavrata Muni said, oh, there's higher than this world. There's moksha, there's Vaikuntha, and there's even doing service for you, fine, but of anything I could think of, I want you in my mind. All right, now, is there something higher than what Satyavrata Muni is asking for in this verse? You say no. How many of you say no, Satyavrata Muni is asking for the highest thing? How many of you think he's asking for the highest thing? Okay, how many of you think there might be something higher? All right. Any of you who know me as a teacher would know how to answer that question. No, I wouldn't even be asking that question. All right, so in Sanatana Goswami's commentary, this is a great book, by the way. This is the, I read it every Kartik. This is Sanatana Goswami's commentary on the Dhammadharastika. So we don't have time to read the whole thing. But he's writing here how Satyavrata Muni is asking for the Lord, Sadame manas avirastam kimanye. Manas means the mind or the consciousness. Kimanye, I can't think of anything better. So at the end of his commentary, he says, now this should give you a hint. How many of you have read the Brihad Bhagavatamrita? How many of you have read the Brihad Bhagavatamrita? Oh, that's another great book. Some of you are thinking, I have so many books on my list. Don't tell me about another great book. But it is, I don't know how many times I've read it. I stopped counting. But what a wonderful, wonderful book. So Sanatana Goswami says, for further details regarding the glories of Antar Darshana. So Antar means within. Darshana, to see within. Please see Brihad Bhagavatamrita Uttarakhanda 286-96. There in the sage, Pipalayana on the planet Tapaloka has explained all these principles very elaborately. Now the Dhammadharastika prayer offered by Satyavrata Muni similarly demonstrates that the longing for inner darshan is the best goal of all. From this prayer, all these things can be clearly understood. Pipalayana Muni's contention that meditation and inner darshan is the best was later defeated in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita by the personified Shastras. They said higher than that is engaging in Shravanam Kirtan and seeing the Lord eye to eye. In fact, if you look at the five stages of meditation, who knows where Srila Prabhupada discusses the five stages of meditation? Where does Srila Prabhupada discuss the five stages of meditation? Yes, which verse? 8. Good. The Nectar of Instruction, Upadeshamrita, text 8. He's quoting Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati. Jiva Goswami also describes this. Bhaktivinoda describes this in his commentary to the Srimana Shiksha in text 11. And he also describes it in Harinam Chintamani and Jiva Dharma and at one other place that I can't remember. So these five stages of meditation are first hearing, then accepting, then actually remembering, then spiritual samadhi, and then seeing the Lord face to face. And the third one, remembering, have five subcategories: interrupted, uninterrupted, concentrated, expanded, and mental samadhi. But this fourth stage of meditation, when the Lord appears in the heart like spiritual television, which is what Satyavrata Muni is asking for, is not the final stage. The final stage is to see the Lord eye to eye and to engage in his pastimes, to be a participant in his pastimes. And interestingly enough, that is achieved through attachment. In today's Bhagavatam verse, the demigods are focusing on the fact that the Lord is detached. Like the what? Does anyone remember? He's detached like the air. My dear friends, we should also get to the point of being detached like the air towards the happiness, distress, fame, infamy, honor, dishonor, friends, enemies, auspicious, inauspicious, heat, cold of the world. But unlike the gyanis and the yogis who want to become detached like the air to the things of this world and have nothing at all, our detachment like the air to the things of this world is accompanied by a great attachment to the uti, the pastimes of the Lord and the qualities of the Lord. So we should know what is the highest thing to ask for. That is to revive our swarup, to enter into the pastimes of the Lord in meditation and in fact, and to become like the heir toward the things in this world. As we are working towards that, whatever desires we have, spiritual, material, mixed, we should go to the Lord in a mood of glorification and in a mood of surrender and humility, however He wants to give them to us. And we will attain to the highest level of desire by meditating on these pastimes of the Lord, by asking for them to appear in our consciousness, by asking for us to be purified of these desires so that we can eventually want the highest and the best thing, after asking for which we will no longer need to ask for anything else, and we will simply be able to be engaged in divine sports for all eternity. So here in Vrindavan, in Kartik, everything auspicious is magnified by 1,000. So if we chant, japa, kirtan, study, worship, do parikram, serve the devotees with that mood, then the effect is 1,000 times greater. So thank you very much. We can have some questions. I have just a very few copies, if any of you are interested, of my two latest books. One on chanting Hare Krishna, how to become free from the offenses, and another, a Krishna conscious novel, taking the metaphors of the fifth canto, Madhulila 8, 19 and 20, and Manashiksha, and I put it into a novel, and Jayashree's going to have, we just have a very, very few copies here. We're going to have some for sale if you want to get some here, and I'm happy to sign them also. So questions, comments, corrections, additions, subtractions, chastisements. I get them sometimes. Can you put the microphone a little more like? Yes. No, but maybe Narayani would. Narayani, do you know the two Sanskrit words that means Krishna in, from the 11th canto, that Krishna provides without you asking? No. Yes.
So in 2005, I went to live in Hawaii. I went to build a house in Hawaii.
Okay.
And I ended up, I bought some land and it went in the dense jungle in the big island of Hawaii.
Ha ha. One of my favorite places.
I simply built a house and it all was in all, you know, the foundations were there. And then one morning,
okay.
Just the other night, chanting on the floor, and there were a whole lot of white sea boxes from America through the dense jungle. And on the corner of my crossroads, right there, was a couple of other murders. So I thought, what would lose their first? Every 5 days, someone comes along this road. So I imagine it would belong to.
Oh, yeah.
Another morning, I jungle, spy on this corner. And you know what? The voice is going to see where this other guy is. Suddenly a gust of wind, and I looked up and up the slope, across the crossroads, two other cars were rolling down the door and stopping right on my corner. So I went up the road, 50 feet, and the dense jungle was this old other car with one branch hanging over the road, dropping off this tree, rolling down to my corner.
You know, in the Satya Yuga, it was like that, always, everywhere. Nobody had to do any agriculture because the fruits just fell from the trees, the earth just produced, the gems just came up. It's only because we're so sinful now that things are so difficult. Maharaj, is there something you would like to add to the class? Narayani, anything that you would like to add? Yes. Yes. Or there's that famous story with Ravindra Sarup. You all know that story with Ravindra Sarup? They needed $400 for the rent. It was due the next day for the temple. And he went to the temple treasurer, temple president, I think Ravindra was the treasurer, and said, "We don't have the money." And he said, "Go out on Sankirtan," which in those days meant selling back to Godhead magazines for 25 cents. You know, going out in dhotis. And so they went out, you know, selling back to Godheads, and they collected like $3 or $4. And as they're getting in the van, Ravindra Sarup Prabhu sees across the street this tall, very handsome man looking around. And the man crosses the street and hands him an envelope that says, "For Krishna." And inside there was $400 for the rent. So, and many stories like that. So thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.